what do you call it, tall boy, high boy in the dining room?
Yeah, that's
sideboard.
Nice. Beautiful.
But ours has the...
Keep it cheap.
Have fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
A design of the old school, the old building.
Very successful. Go make yourself a mint julep and that's it.
Thank you.
Okay, so very conference...
Quite finger.
Very quickly, if I can.
Fingerprinted.
Joe and I just returned today from a charter school conference run by the National Charter School Alliance in Washington, D.C. I am very grateful to have had the opportunity to go. I learned a tremendous amount. In particular, my job as board, my whole vision and idea of what I was supposed to do as board chair has been changed based on this conference. And just a couple of quick bullets. I learned that 50% of our time as a board should be spent not talking about things that already happened, but working on our vision and what we were going to do moving forward. I mean, it said that a founding board looks 0 to 2 years ahead, a sustaining board looks 3 to 5 years ahead, and a thriving board looks 6 to 10 years ahead. So it seems to me that we're at the end of our founding stage. We've graduated our first class, and we should be moving to at least the sustaining board where we're planning 3 to 5 years ahead. One thing we talked about before is the health of any board requires education. So I hope to start a few educational, right, one small segment at least in a board meeting. And I actually, when we were talking about moving ahead, I thought of Marty. I don't know if you remember at the last meeting, I asked Marty about the athletics. And he said, we want to start lacrosse in sixth grade so we can train our own lacrosse players. I mean, he was already thinking ahead on how to make the athletics better. And so our board meeting should not simply be to rehash what's already happened. And how do we get that out of the board meetings? The best way they recommend to take out all the rehash is to send out all the committee reports and the financials and the agenda at least a week ahead of time, mm-hmm. and make sure the board reads it before we get here. So I'm going to ask for a commitment from the board members that that we try and get the reports in a week ahead of time, get those papers out a week ahead of time, and that everyone come prepared. It talked about...
Let me just add something here, Susie. That includes the financials, Alan. If we can get them done sometime before we get here, so people have a chance to look at them, to compare them to last month, we can be much more intelligent when you're going through it than we are when we can right now. So mm-hmm. if that's something you can do, that would be helpful.
It all depends, as I said, when they're available from the state. This month, May's were available on June 11th. That's the first day I could get access to the reports that are the numbers behind the numbers.
The rule should be, if possible,
yeah.
when you get them and you've looked at them for, you know, make sure they're fine, get them out. If it's 2 days ahead of time, 1 day ahead of time, that's fine. But it should be ahead of time.
Yeah.
Let me ask this question, because the timing, the financial stuff is more difficult.
Right.
Okay, because if you meet on a Wednesday and you meet on the third Wednesday of the month, or if you meet on the second Wednesday of the month, or you meet on the fourth Wednesday of the month, it's a question. This is not a statement, it's a question. Do you want to meet on a different Wednesday of the month?
Mm.
It's a question.
Move it back a week.
Mm-hmm. It's a question that I'm raising based on what you guys are saying and based on what you believe are the needs. Because, again, in terms of the state operates on an end of the month cycle, okay? And it's the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the end
it
of the
It all
month.
Depends on
no.
what day the end of the month
right.
is, it, when you're going to get it. If it falls on a Saturday, then it's delayed processing all of them. If it falls on a Wednesday, we might have it the following Monday.
But it's always a week. First day financials is always a week behind at the end of the month.
Yes.
So I don't know if everybody's aware of that, though. I mean, that's an important mm-hmm. piece
yeah.
of information.
Say that again.
First day financials, they don't release that information, and typically it's about a week after the end of the month. So, because I'm doing the same thing
right.
that you're doing, so when I go over the financials, it takes a week to get them, and then you have to process, and so then we don't meet until probably the third week to discuss the financials from the month before, because it takes 2 weeks to process.
So is that going to be a conflict for you if we move it back one?
Not for me personally. I'm just wanting everybody to know, because everybody may not be familiar with First Day Financials, so that's why I was saying it out loud.
And sometimes it's available on the 5th of the month.
Right.
Other times it's not available for the 12th of the month. It all depends how the month ends.
It's just important that everybody knows.
Does anybody have trouble with keeping it on Wednesday? Is that we all sort of used to that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this, for you guys, for you, the administrators, that's the best time?
We're here. Doesn't matter. We're here.
Thursday would be fine. Wednesday's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Well, why don't we agree to leave it on Wednesday and decide whether we want to go to the fourth Wednesday or the last Wednesday, whatever it is in the month?
Well, yeah. I'm looking at the calendar now, and it looks like...
It's already out. And
It's generally the third Wednesday of the month, but sometimes...
Like this month, it's the second.
Yeah. And like in February, it's the second. Maybe what we should do is...
Make it the third or the fourth.
And March it's third. Maybe
The one before Thanksgiving, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, should be that Wednesday, regardless of whether it's third or fourth. Mm-hmm. That would be one week earlier. Just let you put out a year schedule, Andrea.
We've got one in the calendar. I just don't have it.
But if we change it now, we need to get that out so everybody marks it on the thing.
So like in November,
fewer excuses for missing a meeting.
In November,
Do the 29th instead of the 22nd.
Right now, it's on the 15th of November. Right now, it is scheduled based on the calendar that we sent to the state board, based on the one that you all approved. It's on November the 15th.
Which, interestingly enough, is the third Wednesday of that month. But if we move it back a week, then it's the day before Thanksgiving, which isn't workable, so we'd have to go to
the 29th is actually better, because we do not have a board meeting in December. So push it towards the end of November, and it helps us cover December more. So I think the 29th.
I mean, you could vote to, Alan, there's no problem with voting to change board meeting dates. If you approve them, and then we get that out.
No.
Why don't we make it the third or possibly fourth Wednesday of every month?
We want the fourth.
So say, can we just pick
right
one?
Now, sometimes we're at the second Wednesday.
We should change it to that one to the third or fourth.
Yeah, right.
If there's a reason to make it not the third but the fourth.
In September.
If you go third or fourth, so we have enough time to get the financials and stuff.
Correct.
In all reports.
That's what I was trying to say. Sorry, I didn't say it.
So, Alan, is generally the third Wednesday sufficient?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other thing I can do is if, for some reason, like it's delayed for some reason or another, getting back from Innovative Schools, who does the review, the independent review, I could send them out in draft form.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Okay.
And then
okay.
When you get here that day, have the finalized forms.
So let's shoot for the third, except for those months where it's more appropriate, like, for instance, November, to have it on the 4th. And we will prepare a new calendar and send it out to the board.
So you would like that the November board meeting
be the 29th.
From the 15th to the 29th.
Yes. Correct.
There is no board meeting in December. In January, your board meeting is the 17th, which is... The third, you have 5 weeks, 5 Wednesdays in January. Is that good, Alan? The January 17th, because we're going to get back. I don't know how that impacts.
We get back on Tuesday. Wednesday.
We get back on the third.
That seems really
close. The board meeting is not that next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that.
That's the day of the lottery.
Yep.
That's why we do the board meeting
that
right.
Day. Yeah, we can't change. February.
No, we're talking about January.
Oh.
So that would be one you probably would get the drafts.
Fine.
So we'll still do it on the 17th.
Because those reports won't be available
until
the
10th. Because we don't want to change. There's no letter.
In February, the meeting is on the 14th, which is the second Wednesday of the month.
Let's move it to the 21st.
Have that, Andrea? That is February, would be the 21st, not the 14th.
Then we can all have Valentine's Day plans.
And in March, bring your cookies. And in March,
21st again.
Compliant snacks only.
What?
No Java Cafe Strawberry.
In March, we're moving it from the 14th to the 21st.
I thought that was February, is it the same?
Same.
Because February's 28 days.
In April, we have it on the 25th, and that is the 4th, and that's probably because of the interceding spring break.
And that's a good, yeah.
In May, it's on the 16th, which is the 3rd.
It is the 3rd?
Yeah.
I don't know about moving it to the 23rd.
No, keep it.
Oh, because of graduation and everything, yeah, yeah.
I keep it the 16th.
All right.
And I think June you want to keep also, because, even though it's the 2nd.
Because we're done.
Yeah, because that's it, there's no more. Okay.
What is June?
It's actually the 2nd, it's the 13th.
Which is really early for you.
So there might be two.
It just falls in the last week of school for, with the parent or the teachers.
There might be 2 months where we're getting draft form, two out of all, which is not a big deal. Okay.
So Andrea, what we can do, because I'm sure they're going to make a motion to change these board dates, okay? So we would go in and change.
I was just about to make a motion, but I don't want to override you.
No, I'm explaining it explain it to Andrea, so she knows what direction we're going to go.
Yeah, well, it will change it on the calendar.
And so we would change it on the calendar with an effective date change.
All right, I'll do it, I got it.
Make your motion.
I move that we screw around with the calendar. It's like a screw in the stand.
I second the motion to change the calendar date, the board calendar to reflect the board meeting dates that we discussed.
Any discussion?
I second.
No, I just seconded.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Joe made the motion.
I second and rephrased.
Articulate.
Object here, Ben.
Okay, then the last and final point from the conference I wanted to make is that it is our job as a board to add value. And we need to think about what we want to do to add value and what each of us individually wants to do to add value. Coming to board meetings is very, very important, but that's the minimum. It's 2 hours a month for 10 months, it's 20 hours, it's not even 3 days worth of work. And most, they stress that most work by a board should be done outside the board meetings and in between board meetings. And that we hold our children here accountable. That is our job, to hold them accountable. And we have to set an example and hold ourselves accountable too. So for the next meeting, I would really like people to think about three things they would like to see the school accomplish. Three things as a board that we want to work on or that you think is important for us to accomplish.
So three things as a board.
As a board, or well, also individually, what you want to do individually, which committees you want to work on, what. But as a board, three things that you would like, and we can discuss them. These are options of three things. Like Joe said to me, he really wants to see the middle school get the IB, get certified for IB, something like that.
I said that's something. That's one of the things that can happen. And when you're looking forward.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that was one. That was one option, right? Things like that. That we, you know, for me, I would like to see us have a succession plan. But there's other things.
Could we? So, would you want to consider, as a board, establishing yearly goals?
Yes.
Goals. I mean, I'm talking about goals that you establish as. Our goal is to, and to phrase it in goal stated language.
Correct, but this is the first step, yes, before we pick those goals.
Do we want to think about a summer meeting?
Jen believes we should think about a July meeting.
Last year we had a meeting in July. We had some issues that were outstanding. We didn't know what was going to happen with the construction of the middle school wing. I really feel strongly about going into the next full year, starting with September, with a plan in place. At least what we want to do, what we want to accomplish. I feel like if we could meet in July, everyone could come with their top three list or whatever it is, we could spend some time hashing that out, and then we start in September with a plan of action.
I think if nothing else, it's like an offsite, which a lot of boards do, where they spend several hours on strategy, not on.
We could have food and drink too.
We could do it all.
We could do it at my house. I'll have a
sort of a retreat.
Everybody.
Not everybody. Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. I would offer to have it at my house. I have a pool. Do you have a pool?
You could have a board workshop.
I have a motion.
I have a bay and a pool. Yeah, we could do it as a workshop. That's right.
I may listen to this next year.
Yeah.
Throughout the year.
Okay, so that's a good idea. So instead of having it as a meeting, let us do it as a workshop. It'll be a working get together. And so why don't we get together on some dates and we throw
pass out two or three dates and
yeah.
see where we get
and
the
we'll
most people.
Put an email out to the group and see
right which
what
ones
dates
work because I know that there are summer vacations and other things
yeah.
that come
yeah.
along
so if you can make all three just tell us we can make all three if it's only one of the three dates then tell us that as well.
Okay, and we should think about where we would do it.
So can you finish on the comment?
Would you really offer your house?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Really
right. Do you want to talk to Mrs.
Shell
first?
That would be dangerous. Just show up.
Okay.
Show up. Don't worry about it. Anyway, the one thing that I wanted to relay, and this is really for Alan and more than any of us, one of the really good charter management organizations that has 60 schools in three different states, they gave a technology presentation on what have they learned about the use of technology in their school with the communications between teachers, students, homework assignments, all that kind of stuff. What I took from it was that many of their schools, not all 60, but many of their schools that are big enough have a tech trainer that's probably not an employee, just somebody they hire to work with the teachers. The teacher gets in the classroom, wants to know how to get information that they want for the kids, and doesn't quite how to do it. Instead of calling out on how they do it now, there's somebody that they have a phone number for and have access to some of his or her time to come in and help them get better at using technology in the educational process. I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure we're big enough for it, whether we need it or not, but I wanted to tell you what others are doing. The other thing, a couple other things they said, is that if you have your own server, be trying to move off of your own server onto the cloud. It's much more secure than your own server. It doesn't go down, it's always up, I guess. I don't know that, but I guess that's right. They've gone from Apple iPads to Chromebooks, which is like an equivalent, but a Chromebook has a keyboard and an iPad does not. And apparently in some of their states, you have to take tests with the keyboard. You can't do the iPad, so it would add another, instead of using our computers for tests, they could use their own Chromebooks. They're cheaper too, I think they're $200. I don't know much about this, but I was taken by somebody who had 60 schools and they said, here's the lessons we've learned. Let me see what else they learned. They said if you do go to Chromebooks, I guess even if you have Apple, Google Docs is the place to start. It's the most thorough in having all the options that you might want for your teachers, for your parents, for your kids. And it can get very sophisticated how you use it. They gave me some of the names. They were so long, I couldn't write them all down. The programs that they use deeper into Google Docs. But I wanted to pass it on.
Okay.
And I think we do some of that already. We use the Schoology.
Right, Schoology and is a similar product to Google Docs, and it's supported by the state, and they pay half the cost for it, and we pay the other half for the students to use it. Our teachers are very, very good about collaborating on technology projects. So if one teacher doesn't have the skill set that they need, there's someone else in the building who does, and they work very well together.
To that point, Alan, today in our meeting with the ILT, we were talking about structuring professional development for next year. And the way we have it layered in with the before school time, they were talking about setting up, she called it something, setting up these sessions, particularly on technology, like before school. So that just is an add-on to something that we're looking at next year, or the instructional leadership team is looking at.
It's interesting you brought up Chromebooks, because at our IB end of the year reflection, the kids said the iPads were not helpful to them for the IB, and the teachers saw the limitations of the iPad once we got into IB because of the formatting issues, the 40-page documents that they're trying to format and write. And so that was interesting that you brought that up, because that was something we were going to talk about.
Did they mention Chromebooks would be better?
Yeah, so kids actually were starting to bring their own laptops.
Mm-hmm. But laptop and Chromebooks, not
right, but
the
what
same
I'm saying
thing.
Is that a laptop with the full functionalities
of
the keyboard and Google Docs, access to Google Docs, not pages on the iPad.
And most of the Chromebooks, you have to access the Google Docs, because a lot of them don't have, you can't put software on them, like Microsoft Word. You can't really do that, because we use them, I use them too, we have Chromebooks. So that's, there are some limitations, but they're very inexpensive. They're exactly what you said. They're $200 to $400. They're a little bit slow.
But you can download anything in Google Docs, you can
download
that's what I'm saying. Into a Microsoft application.
Exactly, but you have to be on through, you have to do it through Google Docs.
Yeah, you just, when you open it, you download
right.
it as
yeah.
a different, yeah.
So that's, and then, but the other alternative is, you know, keyboards. Like, I mean, I have an iPad Pro, I bought a keyboard for it, and it's the same thing as a laptop, and I use that more than anything now, so.
It wasn't just, the keypad, it was the actual programs that were available on an iPad.
Oh, the programming wasn't the keyboard.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I actually did some research this school year on that issue between the two, and each of them have limitations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
it's pros and cons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much does an iPad cost, though?
About $500 when we add Apple Care, so that they have 3 years of protection. Yeah.
Does Chromebooks have a single?
I'm sure they do.
If it's the functionality is close, you know, some things work better here than there. I think it's worth considering because we're getting up to classes where there's 110 kids in class now, not 25 or 38 or whatever.
What we really haven't addressed or considered is changing midstream. Do we want to have 300 kids using iPads and 100 kids using Google Docs, and then 200 of each next year, and then 300 and 100, and you know what I mean? I don't know how that, we certainly cannot afford to go to all at once to Chromebook for all the kids
right.
one time.
Right.
And plus when the iPads start to get
the,
older.
Ask the foundation if they can help. That's the problem.
Okay.
I mean, if the iPads get
older.
We're
meeting next week. I guarantee it's a problem.
Did you care to quantify your problem?
I take some more thought.
Anything else, Jeff? Did you want to hand out your handouts? Or did you want to help you?
Oh, yeah, just these things that I handed out.
I
didn't
get one.
Actually,
I did.
Here, I'll get you. I got it.
Did we get
one?
Thank you.
I got it.
Okay.
I thought this was particularly interesting.
No, I don't have one. Okay. The first thing is just the bio of Betsy DeVos, who's the Secretary of Education. That's not as important as the... The most important one is the one that has the map of the United States on it. As charter school board members, you should know these numbers, that we have 7,000 schools, almost, it's 6,900 and some, that's round number, 7,000 charter schools, 3 million students enrolled, so forth and so on. The six states that don't have a charter law, therefore don't have any charter schools, are Vermont, West Virginia, and then the four western states that you see there. California has the most. Kentucky just passed their charter law, so I'm not sure they even have one yet. If you look at up in the upper right-hand corner, where it says 37%, mm-hmm. charter schools on average spend 37% less per student than traditional schools, because we get 37% or some higher percentage less revenue. So the average charter school receives $3,509 less per student than the traditional public school counterpart. I don't know how that relates to our situation. If you blend where our kids come from, like we get $7,000 less.
That's probably about right.
Then
it's probably the average is probably about $16,000. The average of per pupil
for for Sussex County, I think it would be closer to 14.
You do think
less than
that?
Yeah. So this number is right in line with where we are.
I think so too.
I was struck by how many states, doesn't matter where you live in the state, the charter schools get a flat amount per child, which just seems more just to me than us getting more from Cape than from Laurel or more from Flint.
I've never seen a funding model like here.
We have a different funding model. I mean, than most states, our funding model. The state of Delaware.
That's right. What I got. I was.
Because when I was in Maryland, it was by county. Each county had a different amount. So Montgomery County paid much higher amounts and got much more funding because their tax bases were higher.
I mean, the people I talk to, they get so much per child, no matter where the child lives. Now, maybe they have a geographic boundary that I
don't know. That's state funds, not school district funds. There's two big pieces, state piece and the school district piece.
Two states that I talked to said they got the flat amount period per child, but maybe I didn't have all the information. I don't know.
Well, that's I'm talking about. Because
they were appalled by me saying we get more from an eastern kid than a western kid. They were shocked.
Somewhere on one of these sheets tells you how many of the students of the 3 million are urban or suburban. Mm-hmm. Did you find that somewhere here?
Yeah, that's right in the middle. 72% are urban. Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the schools, the urban schools are bigger, and our schools are what we call rural.
Rural.
Schools are smaller in population. So we may have 40% of the schools, but only 28% of the kids in our schools.
Hmm.
One of the things that I've been campaigning for in Washington as part of this effort that Susie and I went down to do is to get a segment of the charter school program, which sounds like an amorphous thing. It's a $500 million contribution from the Department of Education to the charter school movement. All of that money heretofore has gone to charter management organizations serving urban rural urban communities. No, there's none of those funds flow to support the development of rural charter schools like this one. So what I'm trying to do with the National Alliance and with Secretary DeVos is to allocate $100 million to the $500 million. How can 20% hurt? Last year it was $333 million that was given to the charter school program by the federal government. So they would get $400 million. They'd still get a big increase for the urban schools, which are now much more fully schooled in charter schools than are the rural districts. And give $100 million to be given to rural schools. The problem is our state doesn't even, to get access to those funds, which are to build new schools or to expand the school. So our middle school wing would have qualified if we could have accessed it. But we can't access it directly to the federal government. You have to go to your state, who gets an allocation. So they apply, they get an allocation, then we apply to the Department of Education. But our Department of Education hasn't bothered to apply. So Delaware has none of this money, urban or rural, because we're a small state, and I guess they thought, we've got Longwood Foundation, we don't need that, which I think is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to educate you a little bit on some of the facts and figures. There is money, federal money available, a lot more than we get for facilities, that if we ever do another school or we want to expand this school beyond what it is, which we don't, but if we ever did,
thank you.
This would be something that we would hopefully have a better chance of accessing in the future if we can get the Department of Education to move. And the other sheet is just some interesting facts as well, myth versus fact. For your reading enjoyment. But both Susie and I would recommend highly. Next year's conference is June 17 to 20, and it's in Austin, Texas. If you haven't been to Austin,
Texas, that would be nice.
That's a great town. You will be amazed at how much more you know about charter schools and our job as a charter school board member. If you go to one of these, it's a three-day education, but it feels like you were there for a week and a half because there's so much thrown at you. And it's fun, and you talk to your counterparts in another state, so we highly recommend it.
We get these books if anybody wants to read them.
We have one more piece of business that we need to vote on.
Did they do Lesson of the Geese? Did you hear Lesson of the Geese?
No, this is, okay. I read
we
this.
We have one more item that we need to vote on, which is that we have 5 board members who are
staying on
asking,
one extra year.
Asking to extend 6 board members who are asking to extend their terms for another year. That would be myself, Denise, Joe.
Our terms are up, all of you people.
Moody, Benjamin, and Marty. Well, you're on a 1-year extension already, so am I. Your term was up a couple years ago.
So we have, every board member gets up 3.
I haven't been on for 6 years.
No, you ended up last year. So this was your first extension. Now you're asking for a second extension.
Yeah. You serve 3 years. That's your initial term. And then you're allowed 3 1-year extensions. And then at the end of your 6th year, you have to leave.
For a year.
Or at
come
least
back.
A year.
Right. So again, we're talking about myself, Denise Westbrook, Chris Moody, Chris Benjamin, Marty Cosgrove, and Joe Schell. So let's do it in one lump.
Right. I make a motion that we grant the request of these 6 board members to serve an additional year.
I second the motion.
Shanta seconds. Any discussions?
Now's your time, Lauren. Now's your opportunity.
We can add you to the list. Did you say okay?
Yeah.
Did you say okay?
Like I said, it was depending on, I guess, what the future goals are and if it was something that was relevant to my areas of expertise.
Well, how about you come on board and you make sure that there are goals that are relevant to your expertise.
That's what I was
thinking.
You should attend this workshop and then make the decision.
Would you like to come to the workshop in July?
You should postpone
it. Fine, okay, so then I'll go in July and I'll see if there's something specific there.
Okay, we can extend you yet.
If I can be of use.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'm sorry, was there any more discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for staying on, the 6 of you.
7.
You need to vote to adjourn the meeting.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor, we're not discussing this.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?